Thank you, choir. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Some of you may know, others may not, that I have a foster niece. And so I'm constantly hearing stories, she's about 3 years old, about some of the things she says and does in her daily life. I don't quite remember how this particular story goes, but my mom had been babysitting. And when my sister picked up my niece at the end of the day, they could not find her favorite stuffed toy, which at the time I think was a Minnie Mouse. And the way my mom and my sister tell this story, it sounds like my niece cried and cried. She was so upset that they could not find Minnie Mouse. And then after they were home, of course, my mom found Minnie Mouse at her house and made a late night delivery. I think some of you probably know how that goes. You see, at that time, it was this Minnie Mouse that helped my niece feel secure. It made her feel safe. I wonder if you have something that makes you feel safe. We often call things that give us this sense of security our safety blanket, and that's what I'm wondering about this morning. Just like a child might have a favorite toy or a blanket that gives them a sense of security, even when they are safe at home, I wonder if you experience something similar with your things. Maybe you have a favorite sweater that you wear around your house this time of year as the weather gets cold, or a pair of slippers. Or maybe as you decorate for the holidays, your sense of security and hope for the days to come feels different if that one family heirloom isn't in just the right place. I have felt a similar sense of security when I visit my hometown or the town where I went to college and I see familiar landmarks. And I recall the sense of insecurity I've felt when I've visited a familiar place and a restaurant or another building that was notable is no longer there. I sense that we have a fear of current things being no more. Our homes, our cars, our stuff. The things that make us feel safe. And I suspect the disciples and the people observing and talking about the temple in the story from Luke today also felt a sense of security, seeing this grand reminder and symbol of God's presence in their community as a sign of security and hope. But Jesus overhears them talking about the beauty of the temple, and he is not as impressed. Instead, he responds to their admiration with a kind of chilling prediction. As for the things you are admiring, the time is coming when not even one stone will be left upon another. All will be demolished. In other words, even though Jesus and his followers look at the same temple, they do not see the same thing. I wonder if Jesus looks at all of the things that give us a sense of security, the things that we might recognize in our lives as unshakable symbols of God's presence, and offer the same prediction. After all, what gives us a sense of security? Maybe it is money in our bank accounts, or an education, a steady job, or a never-changing routine. And what do we look to as signs of God's presence in the world? Our personal success, or the success of loved ones, and the belief that God has answered the prayers to make it so? A beautiful church building? What are signs of hope for us? Winning an argument? winning a war, the politician we voted for taking office. Jesus looks at all of these things and sees that none of them are really solid. None of them are permanent. As for the things you are admiring, as for your bank account, as for that beautiful church building, as for those politicians, the time is coming when not even one stone will be left upon another. Part of the lesson from Jesus in this passage, according to Luke, is that the coming events reveal that the things we put our hope in and that we look to for security can't be counted on. Institutions are torn apart. Buildings crumble. Politicians are mortal. Jesus looks at the things that we look at for security and doesn't see permanence, but fragility. Jesus doesn't see glory in the structure of the temple, but loss. Jesus doesn't see stasis, but change. Jesus sees that all must break and buckle and end before new life and new hope will emerge. Jesus sees the necessity of death before the promise of resurrection. The good news is that God creates a whole new thing when stones fall down and our world feels like it is crashing down around us. Even now, in the midst of change in our congregation, in the midst of war in places around the world, in the midst of situations that seem hopeless, God is already creating something new. And that is one of the things that I love about the language at the beginning of the Isaiah passage today. In the very first verse, God does not say, "I am going to create something new sometime down the road." No. God says, "I am creating a new heaven and a new earth right now." It's happening right now. Now, I know that can be hard to wrap our heads around when what we see on the surface and in our news media is war and disaster, and we go through what feels like never-ending changes. But one thing that Jesus advises his listeners to do in Luke today is trust. Because despite the seeming signs of disaster, God is still in charge. God is still faithful. And God's faith in us and love for us gives us an opportunity to respond, to also be faithful, and to participate as co-creators with God in the fulfillment of this new heaven and new earth. And there are things that we are already doing as individuals, as a congregation, as communities, to participate in God's new Jerusalem here and now. Just this week, our deacons began engaging in a challenging conversation about how we best care for our neighbors and love them, and how we take steps to extend hospitality to all. We are caring for each other in times of sickness and transition by providing meals and checking in on each other. We are working with other churches and agencies in the community of Stillwater to provide our neighbors with the resources they need as they seek out stable housing and food resources and job opportunities. We serve the university by connecting students with our larger church family and by reaching out to new faculty and staff who are coming to town. I believe if this is any indication about how we are serving our greater community, I believe that this new heaven and new earth that God speaks of is centered on relationships and community. an important aspect of the church in every age. The prophet Isaiah proclaims that God says, "Be glad and rejoice forever in what I'm creating, because I'm creating Jerusalem as a joy and her people as a source of gladness." How are we, and how can we continue to be, a source of gladness? As we ponder what kind of future God is calling us into, let us also remember that even when we hear about wars and earthquakes and food shortages and epidemics, that God is creating something new and is faithful still. Sometimes others have already said best what we are trying to say. And so I'd like to share a quote from Samwise Gamgee at the end of The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. He says, "But in the end, it's only a passing thing, this shadow. Even darkness must pass. A new day will come. And when the sun shines, it will shine out the clearer. Those were the stories that stayed with you, that meant something, even if you were too small to understand why. But I think, Mr. Frodo, I do understand. I know now. Folk in those stories had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't. They kept going because they were holding on to something. That there is some good in this world. And it's worth fighting for. It is worth fighting for, the good in the world. The new thing that God is creating, because even the darkness must and will pass. So let us join in with our Creator, responding to God's grace by participating in God's new creation. Look, God says, I'm creating a new heaven and a new earth. Be glad and rejoice forever. Amen.